Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text from the second reading, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. And as they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. This is our text. Well, that doesn't sound a whole lot like Christmas now, does it? And it doesn't look exactly like Christmas in here either. You might recall that on Christmas we always dress the altar and the other furniture in the church with the white paraments. But instead of Christmas white, the church is dressed in blood red, just like it is at Pentecost, Reformation, and for the feasts of martyrs. Instead of the thrill of hope and a weary world rejoicing, we heard the thrill of wrath and a wicked world rejoicing. Instead of a babe in a manger, we have a grown man brutally stoned to death. Today, the church remembers Saint Stephen, the first person to be killed for confessing Christ, the first martyr. Why is it like this? Why do the birth of our Lord and the martyrdom of Saint Stephen stand side by side in the church's calendar? These two things seem to be such opposites. What does death have to do with Christmas? Now, if we find this a bit jarring, a bit unexpected, it's worth stepping back and thinking about how jarring and unexpected our Christmas would seem to Mary and Joseph. Would Mary and Joseph even recognize themselves in the romanticized pictures of the Nativity? Would they wonder what Amazon deliveries and new bikes and evergreen trees and ham and potatoes and 24 different kinds of cookies have to do with the birth of Jesus? Those aren't bad things, of course, but perhaps we need to remember that there's more to Christmas than all of that. Perhaps we need to remember that there are things a little more earthy and gritty and challenging, even at Christmas time. Maybe it's our ideas about Christmas that need some correcting. In fact, death and Christmas are closely connected, more closely than we might realize. That newborn child wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger, that little child is himself going to suffer a terrible, brutal death. He was born to die. Not because death is good, but because death is bad. The Nativity leads to Good Friday. We see that in our own church calendar. Advent brings us to Christmas, and from Christmas we move forward toward Lent and Easter. The incarnation, God coming in the flesh, is connected to the atonement. We sang it in our very first hymn, "Nail's spear shall pierce him through, the cross be borne for me, for you." Our Lord is no stranger to suffering. Indeed, suffering is the mark of his kingship. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Some Christians risk such persecution still today. I venture to guess that there are Christians in parts of the world yesterday who gathered together at the risk of jail or perhaps even death. For others like us, we have less to fear from celebrating Christmas, but the cross is still part of our daily lives. The cross of trials in this fallen world and the cross of our own sin. We often want our lives to be like our Christmas packages, perfectly chosen, carefully wrapped, with a large and beautiful bow on top. Christmas may be like that, but life isn't. Life can be messy. Life can be unpredictable. Things happen when you least expect them or want them to happen. I'm reminded of that every time I have a text on a Sunday morning from someone saying, "Sorry, Pastor, won't be at church. The water heater broke again." The pieces of our stories don't always fit together in neat and in tidy ways. Now, I don't think that saying this makes Christmas any less joyous. Ignoring our problems, shrugging our shoulders at our sin, pretending that everything is fine, that makes it worse, actually. After all, our problems haven't gone anywhere, not even when Christmas comes. Our sorrows haven't left. Our troubles are still waiting around the corner. The Feast of St. Stephen is here to acknowledge the realities of life in this world, and so to help us deal with the realities of our lives in this world. There's something honest about having not just a white Christmas, but a red Christmas. Instead of ignoring our suffering and struggles, we can call them what they are. We can name them. We can acknowledge them. We don't have to pretend like life is perfect. We don't have to fake it. We can deal with life that is real. We can look at the baby in the manger and we can see that this baby is the eternal Son of God, come to die a terrible and bloody death. We can see that the human flesh received from Mary is the same flesh that hung upon the cross. Do you think that kills or ruins the joy of Christmas? I don't think it does. I don't think acknowledging the reality of our Lord's suffering and death ruins Christmas at all, not when we realize that he did this for you. He did this because of your suffering and because of your sin and because of your sorrow. Real suffering, real sin, and real sorrow. And he did it not as a band-aid, not as a fake, but he did it instead as a real and permanent cure. The sin and guilt that he bore, the mocking and punishment that he endured, the death that he died, it was yours. None of that belonged to him. It was yours. But he made it his to set you free. So that even though you struggle now, those struggles won't conquer you. Even though you suffer and you sorrow now, those sufferings and those sorrows won't have the last word. Even though you are a sinner now, not happily a sinner, I hope, but still a sinner, your sin won't stay with you for eternity. This is why he came, to give us hope, to give us life, and to give us forgiveness, not just to give us a pretty Christmas, and to pay for all of it, not on credit, but in his blood shed for you. This is what St. Stephen saw. We don't know when it happened. We don't know that he died on the day after Christmas. But we do know that he was martyred for being a Christian. St. Stephen saw this same Lord. The people who were around him, they couldn't stand to hear what he said. They wanted to bury their rebellion. They wanted to ignore their sin. So they plugged their ears. And rather than enduring the truth and repenting, they hurled stones at him to kill him. But St. Stephen saw Jesus. He says that he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God the Father. What does that mean? It means that he saw Christmas and Good Friday and Easter all at the same time. He saw the flesh and blood of the baby born in Bethlehem. He saw in that flesh the nail holes and where the spear pierced his side on Good Friday. And he saw that flesh once dead, but alive again. And not just alive, but on the throne of God, reigning as king. Reigning as the king who died to forgive all sins. To forgive the sins of Stephen, as well as the sins of those who stoned him. And to forgive your sins and mine as well. Reigning as the king who has suffering as the mark of his kingship, reigning as the king who was now going to call Stephen home to his kingdom. This is the Stephen celebration of Christmas. Not perfect packages with big bows, but to be born again into God's heavenly kingdom. And that's exactly what happened to Stephen. The early church considered the day of martyrdom for the martyrs to be the day of their heavenly birthday. And so it was for Stephen. Falling asleep in death, he woke up to something more wonderful than we have here. Like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds, like the wise men, that day Stephen got to see and touch the flesh and blood of Jesus, his Savior. Like Mary and Joseph, like the shepherds and the wise men, that day Stephen was filled with joy and with peace. Even while the stones were being hurled at him, even as his life was being taken from him. You heard what he said. Lord, receive my spirit. Forgive them, for they know not what they do. So it is for you and me as well. No matter what the sufferings and struggles and trials that we may have this Christmas, still, we get a Christmas like Stephen's. I don't mean a Christmas with more suffering, but rather a Christmas where we get to touch and taste the body and blood of the Savior as he comes to us here in a manger of bread and wine. A Christmas where we are enabled to commend ourselves into our Father's hands, no matter what we may be going through. A Christmas when we can plead by the blood of Christ for the forgiveness of those who hate us and persecute us. Our Lord gives himself to us this day, and so he brings to us the true joy and peace of his forgiveness and eternal life. This is a joy and a peace that can withstand the assaults of Satan, a joy and a peace that can endure every suffering of this world, a joy and a peace that can stand even when we meet the persecution promised by Jesus. Such things may make our Christmases way different than what we normally expect, but Christmas remains Christmas because of Christ and nothing else. In fact, it's sometimes the hard Christmases that make us appreciate Christmas even more, that make Christmas even better. Sometimes the hard and challenging Christmases where we grasp more clearly exactly what Christmas means. Not simply pretty packages with bows, but a Savior born for you. I would venture to guess that those who are persecuted and suffer for the faith, that they know something about Christmas that we don't. And they have a joy beyond what we have. We know that when such sufferings and persecution comes, it's not because our Lord loves that we suffer, but it's because Satan hates Jesus, and so he hates us. But what Satan doesn't know is that in his rage, he can never destroy Christmas, and he can never take our Christ from us. But suffering is the mark of our Lord's kingship. So if you find yourself suffering this Christmas, if you find yourself sorrowing, if you find trials in your life, do not despair, but cling rather to him. And look to the blood of Jesus, the red blood that washes away the stain of our sin, that rescues us from death and the devil, and that gives eternal salvation to all who believe, including Stephen. That's the red that makes Christmas what it is. Even on St. Stephen's Day. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.